hello, hello, and welcome to yet another TRC podcast where I'm your host, Dane Hennen. Almost couldn't get the words out there.
That's okay.
Rushing to get it out there. And to my right, Levi Gates.
Dane, what's going on?
Well, we're missing somebody.
Yeah, Anthony had to, he went to Mexico.
Well, he's on baby duty,
Yeah. Not in Mexico.
Yeah, so, he didn't get to go to Mexico.
Yeah, so Anthony and I are doing what we're calling being single dads.
Oh, okay.
This week. Okay. So my wife and son, meine Frau und mein Sohn are in Disneyland.
Okay.
For the next till Wednesday.
How's
they're enjoying it?
Og liking that.
I might have to put some videos so you guys can see. I may have to send those to Nick.
Oh, okay.
Other thing though is that Anthony, his wife, is in Mexico on a family trip, and she left him alone with Lucy. So I have Hadley.
See.
And he has Lucy, so we're a couple of single dads, single daughter dads, is what we're calling.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right? So he's home with her. I actually got to come in because my kid's in school, and she's an 11-year-old.
Right,
so
yeah. Kind of an age difference there.
A little easier to use, you know, to transport, take places, things like that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so Anthony is off today and tomorrow. He will be here for Thursday's Q&A.
Yeah.
We got to do that. So he'll be here for that. So he will be available in the studio for you guys.
So if you feel like you've been missing Anthony a lot lately, we have too.
Yes, exactly. getting into some of the housekeeping that we got going on this week, we're just hanging out. It's going to be a light, easy week for us in terms of business. But what we've got going is we are getting ready to shoot our new Christmas sale ad. So another one of those scripted ads you guys love so much, just like our Halloween sale, and then maybe the Absolute video, things like that. So we're getting ready to do that. They've been decorating outside, out all around the building, and in the other one of the other warehouses where kind of multiple what's that called, Dane? Movie terms. You're in the movies.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like a multiple scene shot, like a location.
Yeah.
That's
well,
the
if you're
words.
Going on location, you're going somewhere where stuff already exists.
We are going on location
yeah.
to the other warehouse.
Okay. That sounds like the video is going to be set in a warehouse.
And then we're going on location to the fire escape.
Not as exciting as I would have thought.
I think.
Hmm.
And then
we
we're going
on
location
that.
To the white room.
Okay, so. That's just an empty void.
Okay.
That's
anyway,
where we go after we die. We just
movie sets. Look at that. Kirby Thompson from the back throwing it up there.
I mean,
letting us know the real
movie sets.
The real movie talk talking about here. So
really throwing it.
We're going to be working on that this week. We're trying to get everything that they're going to try and get all the establishing shots today and tomorrow before we have Anthony, because we got to get everything done without Anthony. And then we'll do Thursdays
yeah.
and Fridays with Anthony and us. So we hope you guys like it. We think it's going to be a good one. We're going to have a little fun with it.
We've been having fun with all these little
yeah.
scripted,
and the,
you know,
the Black Friday one was fun. We had a good time with all this stuff. So we think you guys are going to like it. And then just as always, make sure you sign up for the newsletter. If you haven't already, make sure you check your spam folder or your junk folder or your clutter folder, whatever you have.
But if you don't
so
know how to
lost.
Sign up for your newsletter, how do you do it?
Go to theragcomedy.com, scroll all the way to the bottom, or if it's your first time showing up, it's going to pop up anyway, and it's
oh,
going to
yeah.
say the details. Sign up today, and you get a 15% off coupon, your entire order.
Right off the bat.
If you sign up. Yeah, we send that to you.
Who's going to complain about
that? It's pretty
that?
Rad. Pretty yeah. rad. So we got that right. going. It's been cold and icy
mm-hmm.
this week.
Yep.
Dane and I drove by a wreck yesterday. That was
oh, boy.
Truly spectacular.
Somebody was either showing off or just really late and in a rush to get somewhere, because that was some damage.
It's one of those wrecks, like when you see it and you try to process in your brain.
What happened?
You're
here?
Like, how did your car do that?
Okay.
Because
so,
it defies the laws of physics.
So the players involved, a very icy, slick intersection
mm-hmm.
with a right turn that was made. Vehicle was a large Super Duty.
Short
like
box.
Early 2000 Super Duty.
Extended cab.
Really, really big boy.
Lifted.
Up on, you know, big tires, the whole thing, bright white, you know. And
yeah.
Then the damage
the
was mostly, the victim, was a bus stop. Like a
yeah.
full glass and metal bus stop.
Yeah, a full enclosure.
Yeah.
How we went, I was telling Dane when I went through, because I was following a cop yesterday morning, and I was wondering... when that cop flipped on his lights, mm-hmm. what he was going towards.
Yeah.
And then when I passed it, I said, how in the heck did that happen? And I texted the group and said, this is what happens when someone, you know, F's around and finds out kind of thing. So my theory, two theories, cruising through the intersection. It was icy out yesterday. Very icy, very slick. My guess is yellow light. Tried to run it.
Yeah.
Floored it to get through the yellow light.
It's
hit
a pretty
the ice.
Big intersection, too. Like, it's wider than some other
intersections. I mean, it's like six lanes.
Yeah. So
it's like a six and a four.
Because so one is a bus lane on the side, basically. But, yeah, it gives you the sense that there's more space than there really is to turn there. And if you're in a big old truck and you're like, oh, I can make it. Well, first of all, I'd be scared about a little tippy-tippy happening.
I'm surprised he didn't flip the truck.
Yeah. No, honestly, I could have seen that happening where he just landed on top of, you know, opposing traffic on the other side mm-hmm. or something.
Well, yeah.
But instead, it was more of a big arc and then overcorrect and straight
into the
bus stop.
So that's my thing. Like, I think
picturing.
Going westbound.
Like, he goosed it.
Gunned it to get through the yellow light. When he did that, he was in two-wheel drive, spun out, tried to overcorrect. Missed the overcorrect and plowed into the bus shelter.
Well, and he was on mud terrains. Like, they had the, like,
they weren't even that, they weren't that grippy.
They looked like knobby tread that looked like it was, what I'm saying is,
yeah, you're
not
right.
Good for ice.
Right.
Because mud terrains are great in all kinds of situations, but not on
unless
ice.
They're Maxxis Razor MTs. But the fact was that he had damaged the front of his vehicle.
Yes.
Like, straight up smashed the front end. But this was the crazy thing. He had completely ripped his tailgate off the back of the truck and sheared it.
Oh, yeah, that thing was a goner.
And there was dents all down the side of the truck, like he had hit some stuff. And then he was parked on top of the bus shelter.
So, like, the bus shelter, perhaps it got dragged under the vehicle because it's so tall, but the body's so high.
Mm-hmm.
And the bus shelter probably fit in that kind of big suspension cage area underneath. And it got dragged. And I bet some parts, like the legs of the design,
popped out the back.
Smacking at the side of the truck mm-hmm. and putting those dents and stuff in it. Like,
yeah.
There's a whole thing going on.
But my favorite part was the kid was taking selfies.
Oh, yeah. You said the guy was out there just like mean mugging for
the
camera. The
cops were out there looking at it. Yeah.
It's like, oh, my.
So then my other theory is that he was making a right turn headed west from the north.
Sounds like he's making a YouTube thumbnail is what he's making.
And he wasn't paying attention, and he did the same thing, floored it, got some traction, made it into the intersection where there's no traction, and just completely spun around.
Yeah.
Problem with that theory,
hmm.
not enough speed
to
do that much damage.
The street that you're coming off of has like a 35 mile per hour limit, if that. Most people aren't even driving that fast because of the ice. They could see it around, so most people were barely going 25 on that road.
Yeah. So I think he was going westbound straight through the intersection and gunned it. That's my guess, because he had to have some speed built up, and that's a 35 to a 40 mile an hour area. So I think he was gunning it to get through the light and didn't want to stop.
I can see that.
And then just lost control of the truck. Yeah. However, it was fun this morning to drive by that spot.
And still see,
and
the
see
thing
it all
obliterated
still sitting there,
on the ground.
And see a gentleman like standing there waiting for the bus.
Poor guy. Now he doesn't have cover if it rains or snows.
He was standing in broken glass. No one cleaned it up yet.
No, like they had
cleaned it up.
They had caution tape around
caution
it.
Caution tape.
But it was the laziest caution tape I've ever seen. It didn't really
it
keep
caution
people
tape,
from going anywhere.
It was caution tape on the ground. Is
what it
was.
Just
it was
sitting
like
on the
they
ground,
just tied
basically.
It to the pieces of metal and broken
and
glass.
To answer Neil White's question, I do not believe that there is a traffic camera on there. At least not a public.
We're in Idaho. There's they have highway cams for
we're not in London
for
here.
Weather. That's it. It's mostly to see if the road's passable.
Yeah, they have the weather.
We don't have
cams.
Traffic cams that's, here in Idaho. So now ACHD does have cameras.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to their control center and they do have cameras available. But again, it's all just roads. It's mostly the highways.
Like, well, and that footage gets constantly just overrun, erased by
so,
continuing footage.
But anyway, so pretty fun, though. It was exciting to see. The other thing I really enjoyed seeing was when I took the family, took Carly and Hadley to, or Augie to Disneyland, or to the airport, was seeing all the number of cars that had slid off the road on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. I bet
that was super cool.
Super
same
fun.
Kind of thing. And then Hadley and I thought, well, we'll drive down Capitol. Capitol is beautiful. Road right down in the heart of the city. It's got a median right in the middle of it to delineate the mm-hmm. three lanes on either side.
Oh, yeah. It's very, very nicely where marked.
It's got bushes.
A big curb and bushes,
yeah.
greenery in the middle,
yep.
making sure nobody gets from one side to the other.
That didn't happen. There was a lot of tire marks over both sides from people coming around the corner and driving up over onto the curb
so
and
they
the
were
oncoming
committed.
Traffic. Yeah. Okay. Again, one of those things, you know, Dane, we're one of the fastest growing cities in the country. We got a lot of transplants from all over the United States.
Seems like a lot of them are from warm weather states.
So, yeah, I think that's what's happened. Uh-huh. I think a lot of them, it's maybe their first summer here or first
what's
winter.
What's this? This is new. Ah!
Yeah. They've never experienced a ice sheet under a fine layer of snow.
By the time you know it's happening, it's too late.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
If you don't have reflexes that you understand what to do in that situation.
Yeah, it's
hitting your brakes will actually make
but
it worse.
But it reminded me of when we went to Atlanta and that snowstorm where we were just like, the heck? There's all these people that have pulled off to the side of the road.
Did
we're
I
driving
not get
a,
us through that
we're driving
safely?
A, well, Dane, I would have trusted any of us to get
Even
through
Even Matt Mormon
safely.
Trusted me. That's all
Yeah,
I'm
but
saying.
I would have trusted any of us because we're in a front drive minivan.
We're all good drivers. But see, they
we know
said
how to drive in that kind of
a
weather.
A Hummer crashed.
Yeah, a Hummer crashed. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Well,
not for the person driving it.
Point is, us here in the north are just better than a lot of people.
Wow.
I mean, old, in the snow words. As drivers.
I guess we're going to antagonize some people here.
But anyway, so yeah, exactly. Yeah, passed out right before going into the gas quick.
Oh,
cart. Yeah.
No, that's quick
that's
quack.
Funny. But no, but other than that, it was good. Augie yesterday, Carly was sending me some videos, and I'm going to see if I can send this one to Nick. It's pretty rad. So Augie got to meet and see. Oh, hold on. Pause that. I'm going to forward that over to Nick. And Nick, I'm going to send this to you just on your cell. Via Apple.
While you're doing that, I got to read CJ Burns comment here. Counter steering is a learned art for experienced snow drivers. I learned on a manual trans two-wheel drive Nissan hardbody.
That's the best kind. Boy, best kind.
Because you know what? In a Nissan hardbody, if you get into a wreck, it'll still drive.
Yep, exactly. So that is really, CJ, the best vehicle to learn to drive on. A manual two-wheel drive pickup.
Yep.
Oh, man.
You have complete control with
you
manual,
literally have no weight in the back.
Yeah.
You have a manual, so you've got to learn how to handle your ankles or your feet and your knees and all that stuff. And you got two-wheel drive. Like, that's if you've got a rear-wheel drive at that.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't drive that in the snow, you're pretty much
that's where the
I thought about driving the red truck the other day just for fun, just as a challenge. I felt like a young Dane Hennen in a convertible Miata in the snow. I thought, I'm going to do this. I'm going to prove
you have about
the guys
the same amount of weight over the
rear tires. I was like, I'm going to prove the guys right that I can do it. And then I thought, nah, I got the Camry for the week, so I'm just going
to
drive that.
You'd be happy to know, though. You know what I actually learned to drive in? In the
Oldsmobile
snow,
Bravada.
No, a Hyundai Elantra, exact same generation as yours. And they deliberately
quite
made me drive through
the
multiple
goat of snow,
multiple
driving.
Frozen intersections during my driving test, which took place during the winter, obviously the latter part of the winter when it actually gets snowy around here.
Perfect.
And he deliberately had me try to lose control in intersections. That
you
he knew
can't.
Too busy.
The car's solid as a rock. It's a mountain goat.
I would be driving, and I don't know if this is allowed or legal or not, but the dude pulled the handbrake when I was going through an intersection, and then immediately released it again.
100% illegal. I mean, legal.
Yeah.
Because my dad used to do that to me all the time.
Because he's just like, "Are you ready?" And I'm like, "For what?" And then he just.
My dad never said that. My dad, for that first year that I rode with him,
he gave me
anywhere,
a milliseconds warning.
No, anytime my dad rode with me anywhere, he would get comfortable in the seat.
You're looking a little too cozy over
this,
there, bud.
And then he'd be like, and I'd be driving, and I'm like, and then all of a sudden he just ripped the e-brake as soon as I'd start to gun it or something. He'd rip the e-brake and put it down, and I go, ah!
Yeah.
I gotcha. Old Brad Gates Driving School.
What a friendly, fun person.
Super fun to do. Super fun.
So, if I understand correctly, you detailed the truck this weekend.
I did, Dane.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little about that?
So,
for our detailer friends here probably want to hear.
It was cold, right? So, my weekend started out, we had to get the family ready, right? So, Augie, making sure I had all of his diabetic supplies.
Important.
And duplicates of everything packed and ready to go for Carly for pump changes or sensor changes. I even put in an extra transmitter, all kinds of stuff. I charged all our rechargeable battery packs travel packs so that with all the charging cables, so I could have all those ready to go for them as well. I even built a little, he has a kit that carries all of his gear with him. And Carly was like, I just don't want to carry that much. So remember my little camera bag that I have, my little mole bag that I got? And I opened that up. I put a first aid kit in there. I put glucose tabs. I put extra syringes. I put insulin. So I got that, took up the first part of my weekend, Friday and the first part of Saturday morning, mm-hmm. was just getting that stuff ready so that Carly could just check it off her packing list.
Sure.
And then I let her pack her bags and all that kind of stuff. But I wanted to get Augie like squared away. And then the best thing was that that truck pulled in. And it was an exterior only.
Oh, that's nice. So you weren't expected to do anything else.
I didn't have to do anything on the inside. Now, this truck was super dusty farm truck.
Okay.
And my buddy went and ran it through the car wash before he brought it to me.
Okay.
So that was good.
Trying to save you a step.
Save me a step, which was nice because it was clean. But when I looked at it, there was bugs all over the front. I had to do a bunch of... I did have to clay the whole car.
Yeah.
Like, because it was rough, but it was in really good shape. It's like a 2006 three-quarter ton diesel. It's a 2008, I think, because it's a newer front end.
Yeah, it was an 8, because 06 would have been a cat eye, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I started claying that. I gave it a quick O&R front wash to get the bugs and stuff off the front, because the car wash didn't get that. I got it off the mirrors. I just cleaned the bugs off. It's really all I did. And then I O&R'd it and clayed it and then dried it. And then I was trying to polish it out. I couldn't get it to cut right. So I was out of, I had forgotten to get coarse wool pads. My favorite pad, the Rupes coarse wool that I feel like I can do almost anything with.
Sure.
So I didn't have any of those. I have some pads from Shoal Concepts that they gave me at Auto Mechanica that I've been testing and playing with. Big fan of Shoal. I've used them for a number of years.
Yeah, you used them back in the day.
Back when I had my shop, I used to order them and buy them and use them, and it was one of the pads I wanted to bring on to the rag company originally. So, but fast forward now, we're 8 years into this, and they reached out to me and they said, hey, why don't you try the pads? Well, I started using some of the pads. Could not get the cut and finish I was desiring with their foams. So I was like, God dang it. I couldn't get this paint cut. It wasn't bad paint.
What finish was it on this particular truck? What was the
color?
Paint color?
Is that brownish mauve? Like
okay, so it wasn't
mauve.
Just the picture. It actually was like a brownish, reddish brown. It's like a dark clay color.
Yeah, it's not a bad color. It's got a lot of purple in it.
It's a very farm truck color.
Yeah, it's it had something. It had not staining, but it had a film, and it was just heavy oxidation.
Okay, so it wasn't
the paint
like
was in great shape. No,
something.
It was in great shape. It hadn't been buffed in probably its whole life.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
So anyway, I used those Shoals. I couldn't get through. I used two different versions of their spider cutting pads, and then their ninja pad. Anyway, they're great pads. I love the pads, but they just weren't giving me the cut that I needed. And I thought, God dang it, if I would have had my coarse wools, this wouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have been an issue. So I started digging through my box of pads that I had, and I found the new Rupes microfiber.
Oh.
Now,
notable,
you guys know,
for its cutting ability.
I'm not a microfiber kind of guy.
No, because
when it comes to microfiber pads.
What I understand is microfiber is always a pain to try and finish with.
Yes.
It just never looks as good as any of the alternatives. Yeah. And it'll cut like a mother if you let it.
And I was coating this truck, and I wanted to try and maximize my efficiency. So I looked at that microfiber, and I thought, if I have to microfiber this, I'm going to have to polish it too.
But also generates a lot of heat.
It does generate a lot of heat, but I wasn't worried. That doesn't bother me on that kind of thing.
Right, okay.
But I was just looking at the laziness of it, of going, now I have to do a second step after I do this. I could just get it all done in one shot with a coarse wool. So I remember thinking back, and I used, it's covered in trap. Yeah,
Alex,
thanks,
we
Alex.
Don't say those words around here.
So I had the blue and I had the yellow. And I remember talking to Jeremy from Rupes and him saying, I've noticed during testing that the yellow finishes rather well and is almost a one-step pad. And I said,
Not so sure about that.
I'll be the judge of that. So that's literally what happened.
Wow.
And I used that pad, paired it with some Last Cut, and Nick's got it ready. So
sweet.
Got that pad going. As soon as I'm done telling the story, we can play that little video. Cut beautifully that whole car.
Yeah.
Finished pretty dang good. There was a couple spots I did have to go back over. I went over with a maroon spider pad from Shoals and threw that in there with just Last Cut. Finished out those spots just fine. I was amazed, Dane, that literally probably 80% of that truck didn't need to be finished.
Really?
Realistically.
80%?
The only spots were the hood and the roof where it was the most thin.
Oh, the area that gets the most UV damage.
Exactly.
Too.
Those were the only two spots that I really took my lights to it. I walked that whole truck, the sides, everything. I was like, holy crap, I cannot believe that that pad finished as well as it did.
Well, and it's a pickup, so there's no trunk lid to deal with.
No, it was the and it was the yellow, microfiber from Rupes, and it was phenomenal. I was really blown away by it.
It's a good test case for it.
Yeah, clay the or I paint prepped the car, Dyma Body 36, the whole vehicle. Dressed the tires, cleaned the wheels, put diamond glass on all the glass for them. Finished it up Sunday morning after I got back from taking Carly and Augie to the airport. Finished the truck. He came and picked it up, and he's like, thanks. You know, my dad bought this truck brand new. It's got 157,000 miles on it. However, we just replaced the engine last year in it.
Ooh.
And I said, really? And he's like, yeah, so it's got a brand new diesel in
it. Did you ask him what happened to it?
It burned a hole. One of the injectors burned a hole through the block.
Too much time idling?
Something like that. He said it just completely burned a hole through the block.
I'm expecting to hear a bunch of angry Duramax owners come in here and talk about it.
But 150,000. But at 150,000, it can happen. So anyway, it was fun to get that truck done, looking great. My elbows were shot though.
Yeah, I believe that.
They were clicking all night long. That was not fun. But then they got on the plane, Carly and Augie on the plane, they were texting us. Augie got to meet the pilot on his first flight from Boise to Salt Lake. He loved the fact that he got Biscoff cookies.
Oh, yes, Bifrost cookies on the
flight. They flew Comfort Plus.
Ooh,
and Augie was like, what class is that? I said, Augie, that's pretty much second class. And
it's right in between.
And he's like, good. So the people behind me would be, what, third? And I said, yes. And he goes, is there a fourth or fifth class? And I said, not really, but it's just the back of the plane.
That's the luggage compartment.
And he goes,
under you.
Okay. So first class would be ahead of me. And I go, yep. And he never been on a plane, so he didn't know what to expect.
Does he know that sometimes they have animals down in the cargo hold? Because I've heard dogs barking on planes before that were very clearly down below, and I bet that would terrify him.
Yeah. but it was fun to hear him. And then when he got landed, he said, it's been the best day of my life. Wow. And I said, you haven't even gone to Disneyland yet.
Yeah.
You just flew from Boise to LA. That's it. Like Boise to LAX. Not anything crazy. So he started out the morning, yesterday morning, going to Disneyland with his mother, his aunt, and his cousin.
Okay.
And the four of them went, and Augie had one goal.
Uh-huh.
They were going to do everything else, but there was one goal that he wanted to attain more than anybody. He wanted to meet the Mandalorian.
Oh.
There's been a rumor going around on Reddit about how the Mando's been walking around with Grogu.
Okay.
It's very rare. They haven't been showing him off a lot. And so Carly was trying to let Augie know, hey, just so you know,
you might not
just chill out. Him. Like, you might not see him. We're going to look.
Is he only hanging out in a certain area?
Only hangs out in Galaxy's Edge.
Okay, that's right.
And it's very rare.
Hmm.
First day.
Yeah.
They run into him.
Oh!
Nick's got that video. So we'll see if he plays it here.
He's like super shy.
He's got his Donald Duck hat on.
Yeah, you can't miss that. A hat with a hat on it.
So he walks over to see him.
Does he have Grogu?
That's a pretty detailed outfit he's got.
Pretty much the same movie or show outfit. And then Grogu is animatronic.
Oh, it did just move, yeah.
I'll need a partner one day.
Yeah, maybe that'll be you.
Oh my gosh.
Augie is straight up, like Carly said right after that, Augie was like crying, like with happiness. Like he literally couldn't figure out, like, and then a few minutes later they ran into Boba Fett.
Wow.
Boba Fett patted him on his head and said he liked his hat. So Augie's like, he was already set. And then they literally, Carly called me last night at 10 a.m. or 10 p.m. saying, we're just now leaving the park.
Oh, wow.
And I said, holy crap, are you kidding me? And she's like, no, we're literally walking at 9. And she goes, Laurie and Rachel had already left and went back to the hotel. And Augie and Carly stayed to go on a couple more rides at night. And so Augie was, she goes, he's wiped. And I called this morning and they're like ready to rock and roll again. They're getting going. So I'm excited to call and find out what they've done, what they've seen today. Yeah. They're gonna do some more tomorrow morning as well, and then they fly home tomorrow. So
the adrenaline rush though is real.
Oh yeah, no, he's like he pretty much went on every ride yesterday, from what I heard. Like
they're at land, right? Not mm-hmm. World.
They're Disneyland. Okay,
yeah, much closer. So yeah. That makes sense.
He went on pretty much almost every ride. So yeah, pretty crazy. So, but anyway, Dane, how was your weekend?
My weekend was lovely, but you know how I've been doing it lately is. A lot of those nice little nature walks.
Yeah, I've been seeing those in your stories.
Yeah, no, I really, really been enjoying that. So I've been trying to make a point of like going a little further each time, just really trying to not be huge anymore.
Are you listening to an audiobook?
I listen to podcasts usually, okay. Although this most recent one, I actually just turned on a walking playlist that I made for like workout playlists. I have different speeds that I work at, so I could just put on a walking playlist.
What about, would you do an audiobook?
I would do an audiobook.
What about a Jack Reacher audiobook?
Oh, heck yeah.
They're actually pretty good to listen to because they're mindless enough that you can just relax and work and walk and do your thing. But they're engaging enough that you're like, oh, I don't want it to stop.
Well, he's a big guy.
Because he's a really big guy.
You got to look out.
So I was thinking if you're into audiobooks, that's because there's 25 or something.
Shoot me a link to the one you recommend. Because obviously I enjoy the show.
Well, you might you watch the first episode, so we just start with the second book and go from there. Okay. That's what we do.
That's simple enough.
And then you just, if you like it, you finish it. And they're all 16 hours about.
Okay. Yeah.
14 to 16 hours, so they're easy to enjoy. And Alex, I like this Express Cafe 2022 wrap-up podcast is Dane's listen of choice.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
No, but thank you. No, he's been having so much fun. So.
No, I'm happy to see Aug having fun out there. And yeah, I've been having fun doing these walks. It's not like...
So where'd you go this weekend?
This weekend I mixed it up. I did one up 8th Street, and then I came around through like the foresty area, came out by Camel's Back,
nice.
Which you saw. And
yeah.
Then the other one I did on Saturday was my walk along the river that I really like doing because Callie likes it because she's walking on... she doesn't mind the asphalt so much, but there's a lot of ice and stuff, so nearly wound up on the back of my head a couple times. I walked all the way to like Marianne Williams Park around the corner there.
It's over by my house.
When you get on that bridge, it's surprisingly fine. I thought the bridge would be slick because this is like right after fresh snow. So walking a little further though, hidden under the snow is this like ice flow that happens from these apartment buildings that have water that comes off their lawn and just sheets straight across into the pond below.
Yeah.
I'm just walking, looks the same as everything else, and suddenly my next step of my foot just goes whoop, and I just about accidentally do the splits.
Oh.
And I was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that'll wake
and
you up.
That was even in like nice outdoor boots and stuff. That one still caught me. I was like, wow, okay.
It's crazy how built up it is out there.
But what I've been doing is I created a little armor just in case anything happens where I have my hoodie underneath a layer of stuff. So essentially it'll pad if I fall back because the worst place you can hit is on the back of your head, like on concrete. So I really don't want that to happen, but been having fun. So I did nature walk stuff. I like to go out house spotting too because I just like, even though I have zero interest in buying another house anytime soon. I'm happy where I'm at. I just love looking at all the possibilities and appreciating the architecture and the design ideas.
That's a Brad Gates signature.
Mm. Except he actually buys them, right?
Sometimes, but that's his thing. He loves taking the dog and going for a walk in a neighborhood that he doesn't live in,
mm-hmm.
mostly to look at the houses.
He's why the neighborhood watch was created.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He goes there to walk and look at him. He gets his coffee.
I always feel a little bit weird driving in there, and I'm just like, well, it's not like the sign says you can't go in there. You just go in, and it's whatever. Just don't be weird, okay? Yeah. And it's like, yeah, it's fine. It's just like, well, I am looking at houses. No, I'm not casing the joint. I'm literally just looking because I appreciate it. I found a super cool house, though, when I was just up wandering around in the neighborhood up above the Mesa there.
Yeah.
It was this really funky, like, late 60s, early 70s house that clearly looked like it was out of a movie. It was weird because it has this very simple design up front where it's, you know, it's a mid-century thing. But it looks like it has two levels, and the first level is just relatively normal. It has vertical black siding. Like, it was black. The whole house was just, like, mm-hmm. covered.
On the Mesa?
And this is up in the Mesa neighborhood.
The main Mesa.
Yeah, on the Warm Springs Mesa. Yeah. So, like, when you go up into those neighborhoods, it's a couple of streets in.
Yeah.
But the front of it, like, cantilevers out over the front yard.
Correct.
It comes out, like, probably 10 or 12 feet. And then it has these incredible, like, 14-foot, I'm guessing, tall windows in the front.
Yeah.
And it's just like a huge wall of windows.
Pictures of it?
I wish I took pictures of it. I could find it.
So but I grew up in a house like that.
I don't want to make it weird for anybody who lives there, but I just looked at it and went, that's amazing, because I just caught it randomly driving through, and it looked like it was pretty well preserved, but the color didn't look original. I'm betting it was like a brown house or something
originally. So I grew up in a house like that.
Because that looked...
In the Mesa.
Really... unique.
When I
like
was,
amongst all the other houses, about, this one looked very much like it came out of a movie.
Yeah, it was about a year. For about a year, we lived in a house on the Mesa.
Okay.
That was my uncle's house. And my uncle and aunt had moved back east or something for like a year so that she could go to college or work on her.
Okay.
She's got like six PhDs.
Huh.
And he was a lawyer here. And so they left and they need someone to watch their house. And my parents had just moved back from Texas. And so my dad basically rented that house from them. And my dad said it was like the best deal of a lifetime because they literally got to rent a mansion on the Mesa for like $400 a month.
Oh my God.
So,
because I was looking online. Now, once again, not trying to be creepy. I'm just looking to see if I could find any info on like realtor.com or any of these other
pictures
places.
Of that house, like growing up, like it's a wall of windows.
It's a big.
And it's right at like a part where the road kind of wise. And it overlooks, like, it's like the main house when you go into the Mesa. And it was a dark brown, almost black. And it was two stories, and it looked like it cantilevered out. So that's what I was saying. If you have pictures, I'd know that house in a
heartbeat. I'll show you after here,
because
I don't want to make it weird for anybody who lives there. But when I looked up data, I couldn't find anything on house sales in the last, like, 20 or 30 years. So whoever lives there probably has been there a long time.
That house, in the early 70s, my uncle was driving home drunk.
Oh boy!
And he was driving his Austin Healey.
Gotta love that.
And he was blasting down Warm Springs, right?
Don't love the drunk part. Love the Austin Healey part.
Top down, couple of whiskeys in him.
Oh boy!
Flying down Warm Springs in his Healey. Cop was at the Warm Springs golf course. Was pulling out of there.
Yeah.
Flipped on its lights because he blew past him. Just wow.
Well, that road is like very inviting for that kind of driving.
Yeah,
that's
it's
the hard part.
Spirited road. that's on the literally on the side of a cliff. And he ended up turning because his next turn would have been up the main entrance of the Mesa. And the cop flipped a U-ey coming after him. He actually made it up to his house. And he had an electric garage door opener.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to have the door open. Car in, door shut, ran into his house, made himself a drink, put on a robe.
Oh, he's doubling down on the drink.
Straight up.
Oh my God.
Stood there in the hall, like front door area in his foyer.
Oh my God.
Waiting, clinking his ice, watching as that cop creeped around and then finally parked and like knocked door to door.
Oh my God.
Trying to find the car. And he came out and he's like, what can I do for you, officer?
I've been here all night.
Oh
God.
What's going on? He's like,
kids, don't use this as an invitation to do that yourselves, because I guarantee
straight
you
up
things
outran
are a
the
lot
cops.
More strict these days. Yeah, yikes.
Straight up outran the cops. And then another claim to fame was he was just an amazing defense attorney for Idaho. But anyway, go for
that. Actually that, explains a bit.
Other than that. But, that's one of the funniest stories is that he actually outran the cops, pulled that move. But it was because the Mace is a winding mess. So.
No, it's got big sweepers and stuff. It's like, it's really cool. So, yeah, I like going out there to walk. And then afterwards, I'll just adventure through new parts of the neighborhood and check it out. And the appeal of having the Flex is that now I don't stand out quite as much as I did
in
the van.
Think of,
because people look at the van like, who's this guy?
I like to think of a young Dane Hennen in the Jag trying to outrun the cops and get it and pull into his driveway.
I'd probably run out of gas pretty fast.
To get it all done.
Oh, man. Yeah, Andre, what an awesome story. Just don't learn the wrong lesson from it. that is awesome. I'll have to show you the house, though, because it is like all the other houses kind of look like, for the era, they're like Brady Bunch style houses, whatever. Yeah. The split level. But this one is very interesting looking. Like it's got a really, like, it doesn't look like it belongs in Idaho. But
yeah,
it's
this,
cool.
The neighborhood,
I like it a lot.
The neighborhood we're talking about has a, it's on the foothills. And it's all, it was started, I think, in the late mid-60s.
Everything is named after, like, astronomy type stuff, where it's like Starlight Way and Rhyolite this and Star something that.
And it's literally like built on the side of a hill overlooking the river on a cliff. And they built a bunch of mid-century modern mansions.
Basically, this is the exact recipe of what I'm looking for.
Right, it's what Dane wants. There's also a pet cemetery up there. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
There is a pet cemetery up there. But they also, now, it's weird though, because they've opened up the mountain more to build new houses up there. So it's very weird because you go up and you see the first part's very old, 60s, cool.
Well, it's,
and then the next side
is
like 90s, and then there's like brand new 2020.
So the
mansions.
Mesa, when you start on it, kind of closer by the penitentiary, you've got you got Table Rock up there, which Luke Berge liked to go hike up to. Good luck getting up there now, though, unless you're going up the penitentiary side, because there's a bajillion signs up there that won't let you park now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's like, oh, did you miss that first sign? Here's 75 more to make sure you don't stop here.
That's why you go behind the pen.
It's kind of crazy. So, yeah, you go behind the pen and you park and you walk up. But anyway, separate from that, it starts with neighborhood where, yeah, there's that light that they've got with little pedestrian crossing going to the trail, and that first windy street goes up to the neighborhood. Those are all houses that appear to have been built in the early 2000s, kind of like my parents' house that they had here. Yeah. Kind of that era. And then as you go further, then you get to the mid-century stuff, which is like a little bit more around the side of the hill. And then when you go further along there, then you get to the newer stuff too. But yeah, it's weird. It goes from like 2000s to 50s, 60s, 70s to now it's 90s, 2000s, and 2020s.
Yeah, it's just a very unique.
It's mixed. But I just love the idea that you can look at Boise from up on the hillside.
Oh, it's a beautiful
have the
spot.
River right there. It just looks amazing. And I would, if
what's even
I were
crazier,
gonna go
Dane,
anywhere, I would love to go there.
It's even crazier. Put yourself in the 60s and think about that area in the 1960s. They literally had all the houses down Warm Springs, the beautiful houses.
And there was nothing in your way.
Then you had, this is what's even crazier. They had the golf course on the river.
Yeah.
So you're like, wow.
Thanks, Ryan.
Wow, gorgeous, beautiful. And then right before the entrance to this prestigious neighborhood, a friggin' steel factory.
Yeah, that's right.
Gate City Steel was based there.
I'm sorry, what was it called?
Gate City.
Oh, I thought you said
Steel.
Gates City. No. And I'm like, are you not telling us that
Gate
your family
City?
Ran a
no.
city?
Gate City Steel. They built that all in that like cove before the houses.
Wasn't there
like
a quarry there too?
The quarry's farther
or
back.
It's further up. Okay.
But yeah, like that's the, like you're like, hey, just getting a mansion built. And they're like, where are you putting it? Down by the steel plant.
I'm sorry, what?
What? Like, so what's your view?
Sexy at all.
Oh, I got the river, I got the golf course. I got the steel plant.
One of these things is not like
there's
the
a
other.
Train yard.
Yeah, it's there's not.
So like it's weird because in the 60s it was really an odd spot.
Yeah.
To park and have your stuff, because where the Greenbelt is down there at the bottom of the river.
Yeah.
That was the train tracks.
Oh.
That Greenbelt path used
that
to
makes,
be train tracks.
That makes a lot of sense.
And now it's just blacktop that is a walking path.
Yeah, because basically they have the golf course parking lot entrance down there next to the golf course, obviously. And then the Greenbelt kind of starts off of that. And then they have a little trailhead parking, like gravel parking, that's just right next to that parking lot. So that's where I always go.
Yeah, that
it's
was all train yard. That was where they'd load steel.
Huh. Okay.
Before the golf course.
Well, that's interesting. So other than that, totally unrelated, I've already started doing little tweaks on the Flex because I can't resist. Got new blackout taillights on it. I'm very much a fan of those. They look cool.
Nice. I haven't seen
those
yet.
I need to wrap the back panel, and I need to wrap the grill black so that it matches the black roof. And then I'll have my cool two-tone thing that I like. So, yeah, no, the thing's looking pretty cool
That's right. I need to grab
Oh, I got to find some, like, black.
I've got some metallic black. Yeah, I got to see if I've got enough to put on there for you.
So I have to figure out how to take that panel off. I looked at what the actual black ones from Ford cost, and it's stupid how expensive it is. It's, like, on the outside of the I call it a tailgate. It's basically the hatchback.
I wonder if we can unbolt it or pop them off. I wonder if it's, like, a popping
I need to look
clip.
At that. I didn't bring the flex today.
But if you took the hinge, you know, the back door... Yeah. Hold the plastic interior cover.
Yeah, if it's like on the inside.
If it's just bolts holding it, we're going to just take all those off and we'll just wrap it off of it.
Because it's just a panel with some indents.
I think we could wrap it easily on its own on the car.
That'd be a nice little test to see how that holds up on. I think it's like an aluminum finish on it.
It's just a finish. We'll take care of it.
So I was curious.
And then you want to wrap the grill?
Yeah, just the bar, the center bar. Because there were packages on it, like even though I have the top trim one, there were packages where you could get this titanium black trim, whatever, and it was just a color change option. But to me, it looks so much better than the chrome that's on there right now. So I'm halfway there with the taillights, which apparently are like hideously expensive if you look for the OEM ones. I found some that were like the depot quality ones, which are still really good quality compared to some of the other cheapy stuff out there. But yeah, I found those for a lot less, but not that much less than what the real ones go for. So
nice.
It beats paying $800 for taillights.
Yeah. So I got a new steamer.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
I've had the McCalla 1275.
Okay.
I bought it on Amazon 18 months ago, and last week it died. Last weekend. Completely died. Wouldn't work. Couldn't get it to work. Was super frustrated about it. You guys heard, like, I did all the stuff Anthony told me to do. Sunday night, I ended up doing the warranty replacement or warranty claim.
Yeah.
Filed it. The next day, they said, hey, we're covering it. Not a problem. Take a picture of it. Cut the cord and take a picture of the sticker and all that. And then don't throw it away until we tell you to.
Okay.
And I said, well, that's kind of weird.
Hmm.
So I received an email saying, thank you for your photo. We've authorized a replacement. It will get shipped. Do not throw your unit away until we tell you to. I said, okay.
Pretty specific about that part.
Then the next email came the next day.
Uh-huh.
We have created a tracking number. The tracking number, when it gets picked up, you will receive another email. Please do not throw your unit away until you receive that email. Like, okay, yeah, you've already told me twice not to throw my tool away.
Apparently somebody did it and really regretted it, so we're making sure you don't do it.
Tuesday or Wednesday, I got the email saying, here's tracking. It's going to arrive on Monday night. You may throw away your machine. Guess what? I didn't throw away my machine. I've got it still in my garage. Joke's on them.
Just in case.
The power's cut off of it, so it's still sitting. I've been lazy and haven't thrown it in my trash can. New tool showed up Sunday night. When the customers came to pick up their truck, I literally opened the door, and it was sitting right there at my house, and my FedEx tracking said it was going to arrive on Monday.
Oh.
I was like, holy crap.
Okay.
So then I thought it was just a brown box, not like the fancier box that I got from Amazon. And I was like, huh. So I cut it open. Full 1275 kit.
Okay.
All the attachments, all the little extras and goodies, plus the unit itself. So I was like, holy cow. Which is good because I lost a couple of pieces.
Okay. And so now you're just filling in gaps.
So now I'm like pretty set. I got all my stuff back. So I was pretty stoked. So last night I cleaned Carly's car after Hadley went to bed. I fired up the steamer, got it bubbling and percolating, and then went through and washed the outside of her car. I did an absolute wash with steam, and then went through the interior of the vehicle as well. And just same thing, used Absolute on a towel and wiped the interior down, vacuumed everything, pulled the steamer out, hit the cup holders, the grab, all the grody stuff. I found a chicken nugget.
Okay.
On the back, behind the headrest here.
Oh.
On the driver's side back seat, which means that's Augie's seat. So Augie had thrown himself a chicken nugget back there because he didn't want to eat it. Save that for later. And then my guess is he was trying to be like, no, I've eaten like two of these chicken nuggets already. It's literally what he's doing. He's hiding food. And then I also, there was a weird smell in the car on Sunday when I took him to the airport. And I was driving back in it, and I was like, and so I grabbed the garbage out of the door pockets. I grabbed all the soda cans.
Because there's always garbage.
It's always garbage. So I had Hadley help me. I said, let's grab all the trash out of here. We checked the back seat pockets and stuff. The only thing I didn't check was under the seats, under the front seats.
That's where everything always is.
Last night I was vacuuming and I was cleaning, and I moved the seats forward and back. Driver's side, slid the seat forward. Straight up rotten apple core sitting by the under seat vent. Heat vent.
So it's just being blasted through the whole cabin when you...
Just a rotten, shriveled apple core.
Love that.
And I'm like, this is the sigil of my house.
Well, it's not like a banana peel like my dad leaves in the car, but, you know, it's...
Yeah, but the... But it's, the it's
an apple is worse in its own
way. I was just glad there wasn't also a chicken nugget down there, too.
Yeah, I would rather have a fruit than meat.
Yeah, so
in that situation.
I have gotten both. Augie uses the backseat pocket like that. So I got that out of there, steamed the carpet right under there, cleaned it, sprayed a little Terminator in there, wiped everything down, cracked the windows, cleaned this, just steamed the seats, I just went through and steamed the car. Vents, cleaned it up, cracked the windows, threw a little Diamond Quick Body on the car because it's been over a year that I've put the delicious pink Granny Smith camera. Actually, it was a... my children are fans of Honeycrisp apples.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was a destroyed, it was a shriveled up Honeycrisp.
I'm a Fuji man myself.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
So steamed everything, cracked the windows. I threw Diamond Quick Body on the car, on the paint. It's got Pro 120 on it.
Okay.
It's been on there for almost exactly a little over a year.
Seems like
almost
it's held
exactly
up
over a little over
amazingly
a year. So
well.
It's about 14. It's about 14 months, 16 months on the paint, and I haven't done anything to it.
How many times have you washed it?
Maybe 4 times.
In the course of a year?
Yeah.
So once a quarter.
Pretty much. and it was still, hydrophobics are on point, but I noticed that it still had a lot of the self-cleaning capabilities. Like, it wasn't that dirty to wash it in the first place.
No, yeah, I was impressed just looking at it. It
so
seemed
I
pretty
thought,
clean.
But it just felt... You know, that coating doesn't feel slick, especially the pro levels. They don't feel that slippery.
Yeah, people expect
when
it
you're
to be like super
it.
Slick because they think, yeah, oh,
absolute
this is how it's going to...
Absolute super slick, but the coating isn't. So, but the coating, all the protection was there. Like, I literally just washed it. Like, I was spraying it with O&R and it was coming clean.
Yeah.
But I thought, let's just go around. We'll throw it on. It's been a year. Let's see what kind of, if it enhances it.
Sure.
So, that's where we're at right now with it. So, for those of you guys wondering... Pro 120 on my wife's car. It's been holding up really, really well. I've run it through a car wash. I've done it by hand 4 times. And then last night, just put some Diamond Quick Body on it. So we'll see how it looks. Okay. But I think it looks pretty good.
No, that's great. So things are holding up already.
Yeah. And then for those wondering, I did use the DIY tire dressing on the tires last night.
Ooh.
It's just a tire dressing. It smells great. It smells amazing. So it's a spray. I can't tell the difference if it's like Shinol, similar to Shinol or natural finish or.
So you spray it on your applicator or you spray it on the surface?
I sprayed it on the applicator and then put it on. But my applicator also was full of gummy or gummy. Because it's what I normally use. And but the tires look good. Everything cleaned up well. You know, I used it on another truck earlier a couple weeks ago. Same customer that I detailed this truck for. I did it on his previous truck. And I went through almost a whole bottle on 4 tires. So on 4 32-inch tires. So it's a little heavy when you spray it on like that. So that's why I thought, I'll just squirt some on the tires.
But overall, you don't mind it. You just think,
it's
got
great.
A bunch of other products I can already kind of do that with.
So. Dress is fine. Smells great. It does what it says it
does. What does it
does.
Smell like?
I can't remember.
It's pleasant.
It's very pleasant. It's like a berry scent. It's very nice.
Okay, so fruity kind of smell. Yeah. Okay. Noted.
But other than that was it, man. Sounds like a pretty good weekend for both of us.
Okay. Yeah. No. Chill. We didn't have to worry about too much.
Tomorrow we have our company Christmas party.
I'm looking forward to
the
that.
The Rag Company.
That's going to be
company
fun.
Christmas party. It's back.
We haven't done it for years.
We haven't done one since pre-COVID.
Well, the company, honestly, like,
we
employee
had
wise,
Luke Berge was here for it.
We have way more people around this time than we did in the past. So we've got a lot to accommodate here, but it's going to be fun. I hope a lot of folks go. So that should be a good time. But anyway, play a little laser tag. maybe.
Yeah, hope so.
All right.
That'd be great. I'm taking Hadley with me. She's
oh, good.
She's ready to dominate on laser tag,
well,
she said.
But that's
I
the trick.
Told her that I always win when we play.
Okay.
So I don't know why she was thinking she's going to. But kudos to her for thinking she can beat her old man.
I mean, I'd like to see somebody try. So, yeah. Yeah, no, that should be fun. But anyway, that's pretty much it then, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, let's wrap this up. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for listening. I think we had a good time here. Hopefully, you're staying safe for the holidays out there, wherever you are. I'm betting there's a lot of snow happening in your neck of the woods. Or maybe there's not. Maybe I'm just way off base. Anyway, throwing it out there, please subscribe. Click like, do all the normal things, and we will catch you on Thursday over at the Main Rag Company channel for Q&A Thursday, where Anthony will be back in the seat I'm sitting in right now. So you can look forward to that, and yeah, we'll catch you later. Have a good one.
See ya.